Ndiswa Mazwai talking and singing and praising Ibokwe. Yonela, what do you understand about goat? Don't you think it's greatest of all time? That's what I described you as earlier. You thought I was playing the fool with you. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Yonela Mvana, Director at Mvana and Associates and Provincial Chairperson of the Black Management Forum here in the Western Cape. He is joined in studio together with a colleague in the law, Mr. Ncubeko Mbambisa, Director at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. That's a business law firm just up the road here in Buitengracht Street, number 11 in fact. Black professionals in Cape Town, we are talking to you, we are talking about you, more particularly black professionals in law in Cape Town. Black professionals in Cape Town experience pervasive challenges, allegedly, the biggest being the difficulty in building social capital. Generational issues have also started emerging, with millennials often holding unrealistic expectations with respect to the pace of their career progression. The lack of transformation for black or colored talent is a serious problem in Cape Town. We're in conversation with two young professionals about their journey to the executive positions that they hold in Cape Town's corporate world. We get their views on the struggles black professionals in Cape Town experience and the possible shift that can be made to address this burning issue. Let's have a conversation first up with Mr. Ncubeko Mbambisa, Director at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr in Cape Town. Once an articled clerk in 2010 with me. Difference is he went all the way. Ncubeko, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. Keeping on.
Tell us about your journey to where you are now, from school to high school to university to dreaming big and landing that letter from, I think it was, Mr. Dinesh Kiwala, the chairperson at the time, to where you are now.
My journey, it's probably pretty ordinary, but the look of it is always more than ordinary. I was born in the Eastern Cape, in Mthatha. It's where I started my early childhood schooling. From there on, I moved around a little bit until ultimately I landed for my high school in a small town called Mathatia, also in the Eastern Cape. Come from a typical sort of rural family in the Eastern Cape, grew up doing ordinary things. When I finished my matric, I then, because I was actually at a boarding school, rather quite popular ones in the Eastern Cape called Mariazell. That's where, yes, I did my high schooling, from what was then called Standard 6 to Grade 12. Because I had...
A bit longer than the tooth. You talk about standards. We're in grades now, man.
Not to reveal my age, but I think the transition from standards to grades happened whilst I was in the midst of,
yes,
it. But then, because I was at boarding school, so I'd always been this sort of young, independent chap from early on, I then decided to actually move to Cape Town to do my LLB, because I still wanted that independence of being on my own. Since 2006, I've just been here, did my LLB at UWC with Mr. Mvana here, was next to me. Finished, I guess, in 2010, started my articles then.
Where?
At Cliff Decker Hofmeyr in the, yes, Cape Town office. I was with you there for 2 years, if
don't
you
mention
remember.
That part. They're going to ask where I'm now.
I think you're doing greater things than I am. And after my articles, I then got retained at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. And since then, it's just been an uphill battle, but a journey worthwhile. Until obviously you move from your candidate in position to associate, to senior associate, until last year, beginning of last year, when I became a partner at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr, which was quite an achievement.
Chovicho.
Yeah,
it's a real
achievement.
Don't euphemize it. It's not quite an achievement. It's a real achievement.
It feels surreal sometimes, but I guess it is real. I've just had a full year at it now.
Director. Cliff Decker Hofmeyr.
Yes.
Cape Town CBD. Indeed. Business law firm, top five in any discipline at any given time. Ncubeko Mbambisa, corporate and commercial division.
Yes, M&A specialist. We've been doing it. We've been number one for 10 years in a row. So
The jury's out on such things. Mr. Mvana, same question to you. Tell us who you are, where you come from, and how do we get to Director of Mvana and Associates?
Thank you, Khadebe Ndiyabulela and Bamangazibini. Of course, I come from a place called A in the Eastern Cape as well.
You're damn right you come from there.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a place that needs no introduction to you.
Absolutely not.
And I'm quite certain that with many of your listeners, it's a place that doesn't need introduction anymore.
Absolutely not too.
Yeah, thanks. But I was fortunate enough growing up at a specific location, called Dongwe. Grew up in a very noble family of two parents who were both teachers at the time. I was fortunate enough that with the little salary they had, they were able to take me to a school in Queenstown called Queen's College Boys. I see where that comes from. And then thereafter, I journeyed all the way to Cape Town, where I met Mr. Mambisa and at the University of the Western Cape. And I guess the rest was history. I did my articles at Big Buchanan Boys here in Cape Town. I haven't had such a very smooth journey like Mr. Mambisa here. I moved around quite a bit. I guess I paid a bit for my sins, but until I then ultimately decided to start my own company called Invine and Associates from 2014, and it's my fifth year going.
You started your own law firm. How old were you when you did that?
Actually, it was on the eve of my 29th birthday when I decided to take the lonesome route. And, you know.
How long did it take to reach that decision?
I think having been moved around or having caused a couple of troubles where I had.
What do you mean by all this, moving around, causing trouble?
I think. For me, Songezo, you know, every conversation that a young professional needs to have with themselves, you know, there's two routes that one can take. You either, you know, take the expected route of trying to grow and, you know, emerge or climb the corporate ladder, so they say, within a certain structured environment, which is much more safe, and sometimes when you
get or safe, yes, carry on.
Not to say that any of, you know, the two routes are easier than the other. I'm sure Mr. Mambisa will actually quite have a lot of stories to tell about, you know, the road he's traveled to get where he has. But I think for my sins, I owed it to myself, and I owed it to, you know, the people that are coming after me to actually, you know, try the route which was left traveled.
Students of law, we are talking to you. We are talking about you. We are talking for you. Professionals of law, we are talking to you. We are talking for you. We are talking about you. And those who are doing most of the talking are Director at Mvana and Associates, Mr. Yonela Mvana, as well as Director Cliff Decker-Hoffmeyer, Mr. Ntobeko Mbambisa. Give us a call, please, on 0891 104207. What are your experiences as a professional in Cape Town? Cape Town is notorious for being very, very unrelenting and inhospitable and inhabitable for African professionals, and which is more, it doesn't retain those professionals that it is lucky to develop. Yonela as well as Ngubego have taken that myth and blown it out of the water. They are at the apex of their respective organizations. One is owning his own law firm and one is at the top of the law firm. Not quite at the top because he's not the chairperson nor is he the CEO, but it's going to happen with time, I'm sure. Mr. Ngubego Mbambisa and Yonela Mvana, gentlemen, Yonela, you are part of the Black Management Forum, and some of these issues that would be spoken about in those circles try to address the brain drain of the Western Cape of African professionals. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I think, thanks, Songez. I think most of, you know, I think I got involved in the BMF most, or primarily because of the difficulties I had, you know, experienced with my short stint in corporate, having experienced how unwelcoming and how, you know, quite cold the culture within the corporate environment can be. It becomes more lonesome when you don't have anybody to speak to, and when you don't have any organization which continuously asks, you know, corporate the right questions about, you know, what it is that can be done to change the culture and to ensure that, you know, black people feel welcomed, and that people with the right skills and, you know, talent are able to filter through to positions such as those that Mr. Mbambisa has been able to, you know, to be escalated to.
Mbambisa, you need sponsors in an organization as big as Cliff Decker-Hoffmeyer. Mm. Because you're not going to, as an associate, sometimes even as a senior associate, you won't have clients of your own. Mm. And you need to bill There's that word called fees. There's that term called month end.
Very fearful word, yeah.
Who was your sponsor and how did he take you under your wing and how did you channel that tutorship, if you will, to carve a niche for yourself in the specialist field of corporate finance and mergers and acquisitions, as you mentioned early on? Mm-hmm. Who was your sponsor and just tell us about that relationship of getting you to being a director?
Yeah, I think as alluded to before by Yonala, it's a very tough road. It takes a while to get there. There's a lot of learning that one has to do, and there's a lot of preparedness that one has to do. For me personally, I've never had a mentor outside my profession, for one, and probably even outside the firm. But what I realized when I walked in there, because I think I was a typical example of what you'd personify as probably the people who are most likely not to succeed in that field, because you know I come from the Eastern Cape. I didn't come from so-called Model C schools. And then I went to UDAPS, you know, so I had sort of all the sort of second tier, I guess, in my growing up there.
UDAPS, second tier, Yonela, do you agree with that?
Socially, that's how people view it.
Perceptions.
You know? Yeah, perceptions. It's
we're about not talking about reality.
No, we're not talking about reality.
Okay, carry on.
We're talking about perceptions.
Thank you.
Perceptions. I mean, we go to the whole debate about, you know, what's the difference between one who comes from UCT and UDAPS, you know, there's that perception.
Yes. You get to deal with those in the workplace.
You deal with those in the workplace because obviously you need people to instruct you, to give you work to do. But then you're not the preference because I guess you don't. Maybe you don't show the confidence that you actually can do this thing, which is what I've seen that other people actually have.
Slow poison. Is that the approach you then had to use?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. When I got in there, I had to realize for myself that this was a different environment. All of a sudden, I was in a very unfamiliar territory. Hadn't been in such an environment before. First real job. And now you have to sort of market yourself within the firm with the people that are supposed to give you instructions. And that was a tough job. And I must tell you, the first 6 months were absolute, you know, they were just horrible. It was not nice for that 6 months.
Who was your sponsor? That was the question.
The sponsor. Within the firm, there's a couple of people that I sort of aspired to that I thought, you know, these are the people that I want to have a practice like in the future. And one guy that mainly sponsored that vision for me was Peter Hessling.
Silver Fox.
Peter Hessling, who I ended up in his team somehow. But that is a guy that actually inspired me to want to do this and to think I wanted to become an executioner like him, you know, in terms of practicing law. I also had a mentor, Ruth Hahn, who's a very sharp fox as well. But, you know, I related with him more on the age scale. We could talk literally about anything. So he was sort of outside sort of the professional environment, someone who was giving me the support that I needed. But you're absolutely right. Without that support, it wouldn't have happened.
We're in conversation with Nkubeko Mbambisa, whose voice you've just heard is the director, Cliff Decker-Hoffmeyer, one of the youngest ever in the firm's history. Yonela Mvana as well, director at Mvana and Associates. He's the first director of Mvana and Associates. That's because it's his firm. Did I just say that? A 29-year-old African in Cape Town started his own law firm and is also the provincial chairperson of the Black Management Forum. What are your experiences as a lawyer and as a professional generally in Cape Town? Cape Town is notorious for being inhospitable to African professionals, and those that it does somehow retain, a lot of them are very unhappy. What are your experiences? Give us a call. Tell us if you want mentorship. There are two people who are as good as they are in the business. One is a top of the business law firm. One has started his own boutique law firm and is talking about expanding. Must be raking in the money, Yonela Mvana and Mr. Nkubeko Mbambisa. Give us a call, 0891 104 207. Voice notes on WhatsApp, 0614 104 107. This is the African narrative. Being a young black professional in Cape Town, what are your experiences? What are your views? What are your thoughts? Give us a call. Yonela, he had sponsors to be where he is. Whether or not you had sponsors in your space, you had to give it all up and be your own sponsor. In other words, your own voice had to be your own sponsor to start Mvana and Associates.
Yeah, Songez, I think you Ngubeko mentioned something which is very pertinent to the discussion we're having, and that's just the perceptions. I think it applies to every sector. You know, there's the racial context from which we come from as a country. You know, coming in as a young black person, you know, from the Eastern Cape, having grown up, you know, from a disadvantaged background and, you know, having gone through schools. But you find your peers tend to have a lot more confidence in you when you start your career. And that allows them to be at least two steps ahead of you. And you have to find a grapple with the concept of how you keep up, you know, and you do that, you know, with them. But also, similarly, you've got people that are on the high-end level that must be able to either take you through and promote you from an article clerk to an associate and to the next level. So continuously, as a black person, you have to do a little bit extra and a little bit more than what your white counterpart is doing. And until you have, you know, the social consciousness within you, you know, and the right people to motivate you, you know, on that journey, you know, you'll always be lagging behind. So I think it's being in the BMF for me has helped me personally. I've had, you know, a lot of sponsors from a distant, you know, people that have done amazing in corporate. You know, I take nothing away from people that have decided to walk through the journey of, climbing up the corporate ladder, because these companies don't belong to anyone. You know, these are African companies. Black people equally deserve to be given opportunities to lead these companies. But for me, I think I got a little bit tired of, you know, stirring trouble and, you know, fighting for somebody else's space. And hence I decided, you know, I'm going to be my own sponsor. You know, I'm going to walk that lonesome journey. And, you know, it was not easy from inception. You know, I kept on asking myself the same question on whether or not I'm, you know, doing the right thing. But I had to find strength
in
the people around me.
You have your own law firm. Do you have a clerk?
I had a clerk. He's recently gone to do his master's, which is something I've encouraged, you know.
Sure.
And it's quite painful because...
Do you have another professional employee?
I've got...
Lawyer?
Yes, I've got two.
How are you not that person that caused you to leave practice to this one that you now employ?
That's a very difficult one. I think you soon realize, and to be quite honest, I mean, I don't have any patience for mediocre. I push the next person to do, you know, nothing less than what is expected. And I think that is, you know, why there's this perception that continues to tie in blackness with, you know, something that is unmeritorious. So I continue to have the same conversation, but the fact that you get given an opportunity, you must, you know, make use of that opportunity. So my aim and objective is to really create as much space and opportunity for young black aspiring attorneys to be top-notch, you know, attorneys. But I will not at any given time accept mediocre. So as much as I try to understand, where we come from, you know, it will give opportunity to the next people, but I equally don't accept anything less than what would be accepted at any other law firm.
0891-104-207, Ubeko Mbambisa and Yonela Mvana, two men at the top of the food chain in the respective law spaces. Cliff Decker Hofmeyer from Mbambisa, director at Mvana and Associates from Mvana, owning their own law firms. We're talking about the problem in the lack of transformation for black or colored talent in the series. In the West Cape Town in particular, we're talking about the fact that there's very little African talent retention in this part of the world. What are the social dynamics that are at play that do not allow African professionals to remain in this part of the world? It is said to be a republic. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Your perspectives, your experiences on this, I don't know. Monge is in Cape Town. He's our first caller.
Good evening, sir.
Yes.
I'm not a young attorney. I'm more an adult advocate. But I think because of fear of the ethics and the, like, I think the small people as well as the resources as well won't be able to talk about this issue. I think Cape Town really, the black people, professionals generally, and the attorneys are getting a raw deal. Because if one is taken, for instance, for articles in the big firms, that person is subject to, I mean, to be put in one direction, and that person is expected to do that. And then when somebody is an advocate as well, that the person cannot be briefed because of protection of the whites generally. In fact, in South Africa, the crucial issue is always about colonialism. That is that was never wiped out. So there's a lot of young attorneys that are not, I mean, young candidates, or rather, the young students from universities who cannot get articles at any place because simply they are black.
Thank you, Mbambisa. Yeah. You want to reply to that?
I think the challenge is at the basic level, it's uniform for black professionals, specifically in the legal industry that we're talking about. I think it starts from, you know, the cultural organization itself, the way it's set up. Okay, it's not meant for a black child. You get in there and you feel completely out of place and out of space. You relate none at all with the people that are there, because they're mainly white and are not male. So there's a lot at a basic level that needs to be done to actually change the culture of specifically law firms. At the same time, I think as a consequence of that, what then happens is the training that then follows for a black candidate at a big law firm, at least, is then hampered by the fact that from day one, they were not at the same starting position as their white counterpart. And then that continues. It affects the confidence. It affects how they interface with the people at the firm. Ultimately, people are then left in the background. People fall in cracks.
And that's just the experience in the law firm. Then you have to leave and catch a train all the way to Bellville. I'm talking about you now specifically.
Yeah, you know, you remember those days. As in litigation, didn't have a car, had no means of getting a car, had to use a train, you know, be up very early, like 4:30 or something, so I'd catch a 5 o'clock train to town. And you get there, you're still very much constrained in a lot of what you do, because when you get there as well, your service delivery compared to someone else is
who can arrive at any time by car and leave at any time by car.
Then, you know, and then there's that thing called serving when you're doing litigation. You don't have a car. There wasn't Uber then, at least I think.
Or Room even, one, you know, Kirum Street. Yeah.
You know, and then you have to run up Cape Town on foot and make means to go and serve in Durbanville, in Cape Town CBD. So there's a lot of that actually hampers the progress of a black child. And beyond that, just the social dynamics between us as colleagues within that type of environment, they actually hamper us, because when I got there, I had nothing to relate to my white colleagues. Like, we couldn't chat socially about anything because, you know.
Do you now that you are a director? How have those dynamics that were at play then any different now?
I think what has happened for me specifically over the years was I actually realized that I could, you could fake it till you make it, in which case I think there will be then a struggle somewhere along the line, because you're not being true to yourself, you're not being who you are. So what happened with me was I decided to focus on certain things within my life, which was, you know, technically I wanted to be a good lawyer. I was like, okay, let me just focus on my technique, let me become a good lawyer, and then let's see what happens from there. But socially for me, the dynamics, I didn't change. The people that I work with had to sort of understand that this is genuinely who I am, but there's always compromise with these things. We sort of try and meet each other halfway. So you do let go a little bit of yourself, because there's other people that need to accommodate, but you know, you don't compromise who you are, your values, where you come from, and you put on this fake profile now because you want to climb up the ladder. I think that's not sustainable. At some point you will break down, because it's still not easy. So what I did was to ensure that I was open-minded, but as well the people that I work with, just, you know, share with them my concerns and where I think we could make the relationship work. But obviously socially, we're still probably not 100% relatable, because we are different people. We come from different backgrounds. I enjoy different things. They enjoy different things. But we must find a middle ground where things can work for all of us.
And you're a director now, and there's a candidate attorney who is Nkubeko Mbambisa, only in 2019. Mm. How are you that director you needed to have for that young candidate attorney now?
I think that's a trick one. You sort of, Yonela touched on this earlier. You know, the business demands are quite high. As much as you would love to mentor people with soft gloves, but it just can't happen. Otherwise, they're not going to get there. What I try and do is, for me, at the basic level, is be relatable. Be that person that they can go to freely. They can just walk into your office and have a conversation with you about whatever that's upsetting them, and sometimes a little bit on whatever social stuff. You try and engage them at that level, because for me, the biggest factor that one needs to actually succeed in that environment is confidence. You know, so if you're able to actually give your juniors confidence, and then they start doing well in other areas of their professional life. So for me, it's openness. You know, I've got a completely open door policy. People can come and talk to me as and whenever, and I think it's part of my personality. I never, for instance, shout at other people, because that's a big thing, apparently.
You're not very much the most intimidating person I've seen, so you're not really going to get away with shouting it.
Exactly. Exactly. So I try and be as nice as possible, but as firm as possible as well. Like Mvana said, you know, I must still keep the quality. The standard must be high, but I must just not be a bad person to another person. I must be very accommodating, you know, be open to them, allow them their space, and give advice where it's needed. And I think just as part of this part of the discussion is the problem also with professionalism, I guess, in Cape Town is for black people is we don't have figures who are already up there. There's very few. Okay. There's probably very few Tsubeko Mambisas in Cape Town. There's very few Yonela Mvanas in Cape Town. Therefore, that lack of someone that you can identify with in that space is also a big factor. So, but for me as well, just my mere presence in that firm now, I think, plays a big role, you know.
We have a voice note, after which I want Mr. Mvana to return.
Hi, good evening, Sangezo, and your guests. This is Taba from the Eastern Cape. Could you please find out from your gentlemen guests if they are getting any support from the government, the national government, as black professionals, especially in law? Are they getting any business from government? Because I've discovered a lot of times that lawyers are always complaining that they don't get business from government. Please let them explain that, and if not, why not? Thank you.
Thanks, Clava, for that question. I think before I answer that question, I think I want to touch on a very important issue that Mr. Mbambisa just touched on. I think remaining true and African and not really succumbing to the culture of the environment that we find ourselves in is something that we need to take as young black professionals, particularly in the space that we find ourselves in. But having said that, Club, I think it's quite painful sitting here today as a black, you know, attorney, finding that, you know, even as we sit today, government continues to fund or support, you know, bigger and more established corporate firms than they do with, you know, newly established firms. You go and look at the Western Cape High Court roll today, the number of state institutions that are continuously litigating, it's public sector companies, but the firms that are attached to those, you know, names, it's continuously white firms. You go to the number of advocates that fill the chambers, you know, in Huguenot. I specifically make it my business to say every time I look for an advocate, I look for a black advocate, not because I'm racist, but because we sit with a situation where black advocates have to continuously close their chambers, pack their bags and go to Gauteng, because even us as black lawyers, we are unable to take the responsibility of briefing black advocates, and that's my business.
Thank you. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. You are inspirational, you are young, you are black, you are beautiful, and you are bold. Tsubeko Mbambisa, Director Cliff Dekker-Hofmeyer, and Mr. Yonela Mvana, Director at Mvana and Associates, go back. Keep doing what you're doing, and let's have more Mbambisas and Vanas out there. I'm so proud of you, and I'm glad to know you both.
All right. Thank you.
Yonela
Mvana, Tsubeko Mbambisa, They are proud, bold, black and beautiful. They're part of the African narrative and we're so proud of them. That was it, ladies and gentlemen. 6 May 2019. And